صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا مظلوم يا غريب كربلاء يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم اخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا ابواب رحمتك وانشر علينا من خزائن علومك يا ارحم الراحمين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam couldn't have a child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him a miracle child, and his name was Ismail. But when Ismail was born to his wife Hajar, he was given an instruction. He was told, and it was a huge test for Nabi Ibrahim, after waiting so long, he was in old age for a son. Now that he was given this son, he was to give this son as a sacrifice. I'm talking about before the dream, when he was still a baby. Ismail was still a baby. He was told to take his wife Hajar and take Ismail out into a desert. He didn't know where. Jibreel spoke to Ibrahim and he led him, and they began the journey. A journey of thousands of kilometers. At the time he was in Palestine. They kept traveling until they reached a desert land where there was not even a sign of life. Nothing was there. Then the instruction came to leave Ismail and Hajar in this land. This land that we know as Mecca. At the time it was nothing. Nothing there. There were two big mountains that we know as Safa and Marwa. By the time, nothing. No sign of life. Ibrahim was told, you leave them here. Ibrahim was surprised. How can I just leave my wife and my son in this place? But that was the order. Why? There was an order. So he trusted. He trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he left them there. And Ismail, the young baby, begins to cry. Begins to cry for water. A young baby crying for water. And as Hajar ran in between the mountains of Safa and Marwa, and this is a story that we have all of our rites of Hajj from, a small spring erupts from the ground. The water known as Zamzam. When this small spring of water erupts, the birds begin to flock to this area. When the birds begin to flock, nearby tribes know that means water is close. So the tribe of Bani Jurhum, as they're known, they started to follow the birds. They followed the birds until they saw there was a small baby and the woman next to this spring of water. And at the time, these Arabs used to move around like nomads. But when they found that spring of water, they decided that they would camp out. Then they stayed by the spring for many years. And Ismail grew up in this tribe, Bani Jurhum. And then he married from this tribe. But his descendants were always seen as less than Bani Jurhum. Now the story of Ibrahim is Ibrahim comes back, he sees Ismail, they build the foundations. The foundations were built by Adam, but they build the walls of the Kaaba. The whole thing happens with Shaitan, the sacrifice, the goat coming in. That's a different story. I don't want to talk about that. I'm talking about this for a reason. The descendants of Ismail. Descendants of Ismail are seen as less than the rest of the tribe. The rest of the tribe, they take over the keys of the Kaaba. Now I'm talking hundreds of years later. Other tribes come in, a tribe known as Khuza'a, Jurhum. They're the ones controlling the Kaaba. As for the descendants of Ismail, they were always seen as less. Until a man comes known as Qusay, who is a great-great-great-grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa Qusay is a descendant of Ismail. He marries the daughter of the chief of Khuza'a. When the chief dies, he takes the keys. He becomes the main person in Mecca at the time. Mecca had a spring and Mecca had the Kaaba. And people would come and they had a lot of idols around. These tribes, they built idols towards the Kaaba. People would come from all over the lands to visit Mecca. Mecca was known. And when Qusay took the keys of the Kaaba, he gathered all the descendants of Ismail, now it's been 1,000, 2,000 years, around the Kaaba, which in Arabic is called Taqrish, a gathering. Taqrish, which is where the word came from, Quraysh. So who are the Quraysh? The Quraysh are the descendants of Ismail. Why were they there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned out the seed that would be Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Thousands of years before he was born, Nabi Ibrahim goes to this land and puts there the grandfather of Rasulullah, Ismail, on purpose, because this would be the land, the perfect land, by which the final prophet, thousands of years in the future, will be able to reign supreme with the religion we know as Islam. Because the way that the tribal mentality of the people that were living there and the geography of that place meant that people were always divided. There were about 400 tribes, each tribe moving around. Each tribe has its own rules. So you have about 400 different governments. And the tribes, that was your identity at the time. That's who you are. That's everything. And the tribe that was most focused on and that all the Arabs saw as loyalty was Quraysh. Because after Quraysh took the keys of the Kaaba and they lived by the Kaaba, all the people coming towards Mecca then saw the Quraysh were special. Slowly, Quraysh built a reputation that they were Ahlullah. People would want to touch them to take barakah from them. They were the ones that had the water and they owned the Kaaba. And they had a caravan that would go up to Syria and down to Yemen. Li'ilafi Quraysh. They were able to bring all the trade through that Arabian line. Then comes Rasulullah and he says, no more idols. He says, we believe in one God, and I'm His messenger, and here's the message. They don't accept this. They don't believe this. It ruins their economy. This ruins their whole idea of Quraysh is the best, because he said, Quraysh is not the best, actually. The best, أَكْرَمَكُمْ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best amongst you with Allah is the most noble of you in piety. It's not about your blood or where you're from. People didn't accept this at the time. There's no way. Now in Quraysh, they had a very hard time seeing someone from their own tribe speaking like this, because it was ruining the idea that Quraysh were the highest of highs. People loved their tribe. If you didn't have a tribe, you would be enslaved at the time. If you didn't have backing, you would easily be raided. That's how they lived. You know, if you watch Vikings, it was just a land of complete, just everyone had that type of ethos. They all go in to raid each other. So the bigger, stronger ones, they're the ones that prosper. Quraysh was the biggest and they remained in the same place. They don't move around. Everyone respected them. Abu Sufyan, big chief in Quraysh. Abu Talib was also a big chief in Quraysh. That's how he was able to protect the Prophet for so long. People think, how did this happen to Imam Ali alayhi salam? After the Prophet passes away, how this conspiracy that these people actually, they betrayed the Prophet. Yes, they betrayed the Prophet because Imam Ali alayhi salam was hated by Quraysh. He was Qurayshi himself. He's a grandson of Abdul Muttalib, a grandson of Ismail, the old grandson of Ismail. But he did not care about the tribe. In fact, he killed many of them. Because in Badr, the ones who fought Rasulullah were Quraysh. In the first battle of Badr, Quraysh. Who did Imam Ali kill? He killed the relatives of Abu Sufyan. He killed Hind's father, Hind, the mother of Muawiyah. His father, her brother, he killed them. Quraysh couldn't believe it. You're killing chiefs. The son of Abu Talib is killing our chiefs. In Uhud, they went to get revenge. They killed Hamza. Right? You see, slowly I'm trying to build you a picture. I'm getting somewhere. Imam Ali alayhi salam killed them back. They lost several dozens of Qurayshis in Uhud. In Khandaq, once again, Imam Ali constantly the thorn in their eye, in the eyes of Quraysh. So what happens when the Prophet passes away? They say that they were in love with Islam, but as soon as the Prophet passed away, the Qurayshi mentality came back. Let's look at who was around Imam Ali. Abu Dharr, no tribe. Ammar, Salman was a slave. Salman was a slave. Ammar, no tribe. Miqdad, slave. According to the Quraysh, these are very weak men. They're very strong in Iman, but they have no backup. Because Imam Ali didn't speak for tribes. However, when the second Khalifa says, a Qurayshi is always preferred over an Arab. And an Arab is always preferred over an Ajam, over a non-Arab. Why? Quraysh had a special place in the hearts of those people. And they had the Quraysh's support. The second Khalifa is the one who put Muawiyah in his place in Damascus. The third Khalifa is the cousin of Muawiyah of the Bani Umayyah. The Bani Umayyah, who are they? Umayyah is a branch of Quraysh. And Hashim is a branch of Quraysh. They go back to the same grandfather. So Abu Sufyan is the cousin of Rasulullah. Muawiyah is the cousin of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yazid is the cousin of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. Bani Umayyah were obsessed with the fact that a message came down in the family of Hashim. Why? We are also from Abd Munaf. Abd Munaf is their great grandfather, where the branch split. Why did that branch get the Khilafah? Which is why when the first and second Khalifa took the Khilafah from Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abu Sufyan comes to the house of Imam Ali and he says, how can they do this? They took our right. Say the word and I'll bring you 1,000 soldiers right now. And Ali says, innama anta munafiq. You are a hypocrite because I know what you're doing. Because it's not ours. It's not a family thing. Allah chooses. I didn't choose. Allah chooses. Because right now, if I work with you, Ya Abu Sufyan, you're going to say, one day you are Imam, one day I'm Imam. One day your son, one day my son. That's not how it works. This is not Qurayshi. This is Allah's decision. Allah decides. Okay. As soon as the first and second Khalifa find out, they go, they take all the money they had in Bayt al-Muslimin and they give it to Abu Sufyan. Bravo. Then to return the favor to Abu Sufyan, who gave them big support, they put Muawiyah in a position. And they don't have any more money, so they take Fadak. Anyway, without digressing, the Quraysh, when you understand the Quraysh, you will understand what led to Karbala. Because now, we get to Karbala, and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he tells them, do you have another son of a prophet in this land, from east to west? Don't you know who I am? Don't do this. Don't you know I'm the son of Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah? You're just praying and you're saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I'm his son. They said, we know who you are, but you're also the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib is not allowed to drink water. The other people can drink water, but son of Ali is not allowed to drink water. Why? Because your father killed my father. Because your father killed my grandfather. That's where it came from. These people were twisted and obsessed to the point that when they marched into Sham with the captives of Karbala, and Yazid was given a platter with the blessed head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on it. And he took a stick and he poked at the blessed head with a stick. La'anahullah. And he looked down at the daughter of Ali, who was there in shackles. He looked down at the daughter of Ali as if he was proud. And then he said, I wish my grandfathers from Badr were here to see this day. I wish you could see me now, father. I wish you could see me now, grandfather. I finally sought revenge. And Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, with the eloquence of her father, as her name suggests, Zainul Ab, the best of her father, she tells him, oh, you son of the noble ones, you think that it's honorable for you to sit on that throne whilst the family of Rasulullah are here shackled up, for your women to be safe in their rooms whilst you put us in the dungeons. Her eloquent speech made the people of Sham cry. But after what? When they realized their mistake and it was too late, and the most blessed blood to have ever been created was already spilt, they wanted to cut the line of Rasulullah. They wanted to end it. There was a specific order from Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad to Shimr. You know what the order was? Subhanallah, 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 how everything fits in at the end. They used to do la'an of Imam Ali on the minbar for 80 years. They tried to cut out his name from history. They cut out the tongue of Maytham al-Tammar because he kept praising Ali. They wanted to erase this. And Imam al-Hussein says, even if I had 1,000 sons, I'm going to name them all Ali. And then he names them all Ali. All his sons. He names them Ali, Ali, Ali. Ali al-Akbar, Ali al-Sajjad, Ali al-Asghar, Abdullah. But subhanallah, how it fits in. Because they tried to erase the name Ali, and the Imam on purpose named every son Ali, then they looked for, on the battlefield, who they look for? Ali. Because they believed he's going to be the next Imam. So there was a specific order that came from Sham. We want Ali ibn al-Husayn. Husayn is in his 60s. The future belongs to his son. You must take the life of Ali. Imam al-Husayn had already appointed. He knows Imam Zainul Abidin, Ali al-Sajjad is the next Imam. But Ali Sajjad had a big brother. His older brother, Ali al-Akbar. As far as the enemy knows, they don't know that Imam Husayn alayhi salam has all his sons named Ali. They know there's a son on the battlefield named Ali. The order comes, take the life of Ali ibn al-Husayn. Ali al-Akbar did just like Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib did when he slept in the bed of Rasulullah. Ali al-Akbar tricked the enemy. He made them believe they succeeded in cutting the line. But the Imam was safe. The Imam that carried the message to us was safe. When Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam went out into the battlefield, he went out not only in defense of his current Imam, also in the defense of the future Imam. Two Imams. He died for two Imams. We don't often think about what he did for his younger brother. He gave himself. What brother? Look at the sons of Adam. They fight over which one is to be chosen. The sons of Hussein die for each other. Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam was known as the one who most resembled Rasulullah. That when Imam al-Hussein would miss his grandfather, he would go and he would look at the face of Ali al-Akbar, the most beautiful face. But on that day, one of the people most thirsty, the driest throat, the most chopped lips, were the lips and throat of Ali al-Akbar, the one who sacrificed himself. After the battle, Shimr comes to the tents. He looks around in the tents and he sees a man. He says, "Who's this? What's your name?" He says, "My name is Ali." And he's baffled. "Ali? Didn't we kill Ali on the battlefield?" He says, "That was my brother. But now that the battle is done, it's no longer in that swarm that it was in during the day. Now Shimr is in two minds. He thinks to kill him. Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam jumps on him. This is before they get to Kufa. The same thing happens in Kufa. And that's why when the Imam stands and he says, "If you know me, you know me. If you don't know me, let me tell you who I am. I am the son of Mecca wa Mina. I am the son of the Isra and the Mi'raj. I am the son, I am the son, I am the son." Reminding the people of his lineage and that the lineage is still here. The lineage, Ya Yazid, Ya Ubaidullah, that you tried so hard to destroy because of your obsession with your family and your vengeance. You can't understand it's actually a God with an actual message. And this is the family that he chose to send the message through. That we're still here. Alhamdulillah, because of Ali al-Akbar's sacrifice and the preservation of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, because everyone sacrificed themselves. But it's different when you know that they want you. It's different when you know that your name is on the list. When Abu Abdullah alayhi salam told everyone to leave in the middle of the night, their name is not on the list. But Ali al-Akbar's name is on the list. At least Ali ibn al-Husayn's is. So he took that step in front of his brother. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا مظلوم يا غريب كربلاء يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. Peace be upon the dry lips of Hussein. Peace be upon the aching heart of Hussein. Peace be upon the heart and the chest that Fatima would embrace. Peace be upon the chest that Rasulullah would kiss. Peace be upon the chest that Sukaina would sleep upon. Peace be upon the chest that the horses would trample upon. Aba Abdullah saw his companions go out into the battlefield. Goodbye, my friend, ya Habib ibn Mudahir. Goodbye, my dear Zuhair. There are no companions like my companions. I see you all slain before me on the ground. Only the Banu Hashim remained, the sons of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Imam al-Hussein looked toward his family. Imagine what it's like to be the first from the family of Rasulullah to nominate yourself into the battlefield. Abbas sees Ali al-Akbar step forward. He says, Master Hussein, may I go before my nephew? He has your blood. He has the blood of Zahra. Let my blood be spilled before the blood of Zahra. No, ya Abbas, stand aside. Ali, step forward. Are you ready, my son? He says, Father, I am more than ready to defend you. But before I go, I have one small request, Father. I feel shy to ask. But is it possible? Is there a drop of water somewhere in the camp just to quench my thirst before battle? My son, Ya Ali, I would give you any water I had. Before you go, go say your farewells in the tent. Ali Akbar goes back to the tent, and the women rush towards him. So Kaina grabs his leg. Brother Ali, Zainab pulls her nephew into her chest. My son, Ya Ali, every time Ali tried to pull away, they brought him back. They kissed him all over his hand, his hair. Goodbye, oh son of Hussein. Ali Akbar went back to his father. Father, I'm ready. Abu Abdullah looked into his eyes one final time. He put his hands onto his shoulders and brought him close to his chest. My son Ali, go be like your grandfather Ali. Ali Akbar mounted his horse, stepped out into the battlefield, and began to fight the enemies of Allah. No one could stand in his way. He struck down anyone before him like his grandfather. The sword became heavy in his hands, and his throat pained him. So he circled back to the tent. He said, Father, my throat is killing me. Imam al-Hussein goes over to Ali. He takes off his ring. He says, open your mouth. Maybe the coolness of my ring will calm your tongue. I'm sorry, Ali. I wish I had some water to quench your thirst, my beloved. He kissed him on his head. Continue your battle, my son. Ali Akbar charged back into the battlefield with the blessing of his father, Abu Abdullah. He began to fight the enemies once more. One by one, they began to crowd around him. Swords and spears from every angle. Cuts upon his shoulders. Cuts upon his back. And a sword strikes into the shoulder of Ali. And a spear is sent through his stomach. And blood spills out onto the eyes of his horse.
And the horse panics and runs into the enemy camp. And Ali is helplessly on the horse, and they begin to strike down with swords and spears all across Ali Akbar's body. And the horse circled around, and Ali Akbar called out, "Ya Abata, alayka minni salam." Father, the enemies left Ali's body mutilated in a puddle of blood. Abu Abdullah rides out. He unmounts his horse. He steps forward and looks down. He sees the spear in the stomach of Ali. He thinks of his father, Haidar. Ya Haidar, you lifted the door of Khaybar, but you did not lift the spear from the stomach of your son. He sat down by the body of Ali. Ali was taking his last breath. Waladi ya Ali, kallimni. My dear son, my son, ya Ali, speak to me. Ali's face turns. Imam al-Hussein wipes the blood from his blessed beard. And Ali looks up at his father with his last breath. And a tear strolls down his eyes. But Ali begins to smile. He says, "Father, I can see Rasulullah. Father, don't worry about me. Rasulullah is here, Father. Father, he's giving me a cup of water." He says, "I will never go thirsty again, Father. But I leave you now, Father, because my grandmother is also here, Fatima. Father, she keeps calling your name. She keeps calling your name. Wa walada, wa achana, wa madluma." Ali takes his last breath. Imam al-Hussein puts his cheek on the cheek of Ali. And Ali's soul leaves this world. Ala dunya ba'daka al-afa, ya habibi. Abu Abdullah said words to Akbar he never said to anyone else on that day. He said, "Ya Ali, there's no point to live after you, Ya Ali." He began to carry the cut body of Akbar. He walked back to the tent slowly. He laid the body down onto the ground. And then he laid down next to the body of Ali. He kissed his head, and then he stood up, and then the woman came, and he looked at Zainab. Ali Ra, Ya Zainab, Ali Ra. Ali Ra, Ali Ra. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa la'natullah 'ala al-zalimin ila yawm al-qiyamah.